Well, they have fun last night, did we?
Yes.
Happy birthday to both of you. Do you see how many people love you, right? They accompany you. I have to leave early because I had to speak, had to preach today. You know, Saturday is usually a long day for me. I had to prepare well, and I don't know. I prepare well now, but I need to spend longer time. So Marlene told me you guys play game all the way until 9 p.m., 9:30?
Yes.
So you're totally refreshed, right?
Yeah.
What kind of game did you play? I just wonder.
Fun.
Fun game. I know, that's too vague.
We found out that Christina had been pursued by frogs and men with afros.
Oh, I see. You guys found out a lot of things. Isn't that a fun part? You know, they had a birthday boy and girl. You need to reveal something.
We also found out that if the wife are vegan, the husband will be more appreciative.
Wow. That's a part of the message today about Jesus' character traits. So, anyone have any praise of Thanksgiving besides last night? I know there's a lot of praise. Yes, Chelsea. Oh, wonderful. They came here to visit you or you went back? Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Yes, Angela. Brothers. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, for both service, I like to start with Thanksgiving. You know, we start to count God's blessing, our heart change. God bless us a lot. I really appreciate our worship team. You know, I think they work diligently, and I appreciate Ricky. Every time he see me, he say, "Ni hao," in Mandarin. He tried to connect with me, and I say, "Are you sure what you're saying is right?" He say, I think I'm right, and at least I try to act confidently. I say, "You need to act confidently. You make sure what you say is right, okay?" But you're right. I appreciate that. I appreciate their leading, and and this morning I'm very touched by the song they led, "I Need You." He addressed to Jesus, "I need you." And then he say, "I want you." And then, "I choose you," right? I mean, that's a willful decision. I need you by maybe I don't choose you. I know I need you. You know, but I think we come today because we want Jesus. I know all here are believers. So my message, sometime I prepare, you know, for the introduction. If there's a seekers here, I will have different introduction. Today I see we all are brother and sister in the Lord. Really, in this time, if you watch news, some people, they even refuse to watch news right now because too many bad news, too many discouraging news. But we live in a time, I personally feel, is the Lord is shaking the whole world. It's a lot of shaking and changing right now. I feel as a believer, it's a time we really need to focus on the Lord, our Lord Jesus. Rather look at the circumstance. When we look at him, what do you see? This is my series about Behold a Man. It's already number 6. I mentioned about Jesus' mission in the last few sermons. Today, I will focus on Jesus' character traits. You know, Jesus, as a God became a man, is a very fascinating person, very different from we thought. So my first point is about Jesus' character traits are so beautiful and fascinating. I read two scriptures here. One is Song of Solomon, verse 1:4a. It reads, "Draw me and we will run after thee, after you." Another one, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16a reads, how handsome you are, my beloved. You know, I have struggled to understand the Song of Solomon. What's this book about? You know, it's all about the romance, about very intimate words between a man and a woman. Excuse me. Then I learned is that there are two ways of interpreting the Song of Solomon. One is the natural interpretation. It referred to the romance between King of Solomon and the Shunammite woman. You know, it's a romance. That's a natural interpretation. However, there's another way to interpret it, allegorical interpretation, which depicts the love relationship between a believer and Jesus. So which makes that relevant to you and me? And you say here, you say, draw me when we will run after thee. Isn't that what our worship team tried to lead us today? I need you. I want you. Okay, may I ask you questions, maybe to break the ice? When in your life, when is the time you really feel you need Jesus? Oh, usually, when is the time you really feel you need Jesus? You say, oh, Pastor Joseph, I know I need Jesus every day. No, I don't want to talk about theoretically. You really, from your heart, say, yes, I need you. I want you. I choose you. Usually, when's the time? Okay, uncertain. What else?
Out of control.
What else? Huh? You sin. Wow, you are very good believer. When you sin, you say, I need you. Yeah, you need the forgiveness. Usually it's the challenging time, right? It's the difficult time. It's the time we out of control. But here in the Song of Solomon, it say, you know, attract me, draw me, we will run after thee. Why he want to do that? Because he has to see, he start to witness the character traits, the beautiful character trait of Jesus Christ. I think today when I try to share this message with you, I'd like you to open your spirit to learn about this, not just with your mind, intellectual information. You know Jesus has that. You know Jesus is humble, he's obedient, but we need to open our heart for the Lord to reveal to us. That's not easy for Jesus, God the Son, to come to this world. So let's look at some of Jesus' character traits based upon Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. How about let's read together first, and then I will elaborate on that a little bit. No, 5, verse 5. That's the later part. Yeah. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Okay? I think the first thing and the major character trait of Jesus is humility. First of all, we see that Jesus' words about himself. One time in Jesus' earthly ministry, he gave a very special invitation. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. So when we hear people say that, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. So we think God would, Jesus will just give you rest. But what he says is very surprising. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So how can we learn from him? He says, I'm gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. Seems like Jesus diagnoses the root of being weary and burdened. We become weary and burdened because we are restless. We cannot rest. We need to continue to do something. And the way to have true rest is to learn from him. And in particular, mention about gentle and humble in heart. I just wonder, when you hear the words about humility, what kind of image comes to your heart? Is that a word you usually hear, that humility? I don't think it's a very common word in this society, right? What kind of image comes to your heart if you hear the words humility? Or you have no idea what humility is? Can someone help me? Okay, so what's that? So, you know, I'm just very honest with you. Every time I try to share about this humility, I realize it's very difficult. Do you see? This is very distant from our current culture. In Chinese culture, we talk about that a lot, humility, but many times it's a false humility. It's a try to be courteous, you know, be nice and courteous, but outwardly nice and courteous, but inside is very prideful, you know, say, do you see how humble I am? It's kind of interesting here. Jesus say, you learn from me, you know. For Asian or Oriental or Chinese intellectual to read the scripture, you say, Jesus wasn't humble at all. He say, you need to imitate me, you need to learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble. And the Chinese thinking is, if you are humble, you won't say that, you know. You will say, oh, I'm not humble at all. You know, I don't know if you get it or not. If you don't get it, that's fine. What I try to say is, even to hear this word, humility, is very distant. But right now, I just want to invite you, we look at Jesus' life, what he had done in the Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 to 8. So then we see the expression of his humility. You're probably familiar with this, but just let's go through this. First of all, I see the expression of Jesus laid down his status and power as God temporarily. Philippians chapter 2, 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus laid down his status as God, that was empty himself, made himself nothing, and he came as a God man. He came in the body incarnate as a human being. Have you ever thought about this? That's really a big deal. God is almighty, right? All powerful, all knowing. But for that 33 years and a half, he came as a human being. Limited by time and space. I don't think that's a promotion. Right? That's a laying down. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal this to us. Laying down. And the second thing we see, that Jesus descended to be born as a man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, but make himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made a human being. I mentioned that already earlier. Jesus descend from the heaven to the earth to be a man was not only a change of place, but also a change of status. From being God, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, and the all-powerful one, to be someone who have physical body, right? Limited in time and space. And you read the scriptures say, Jesus wasn't handsome. Some people say, well, I read the Bible that Jesus was ugly. No. The Bible say Jesus had an ordinary face. He wasn't very good looking. Think about, if you are Messiah, you are the Savior, came from heaven, how do you like to appear? Where Jesus grew up? Nazareth. Sometimes I feel Jesus grew up in Nazareth and our church in Richmond. I feel, well, it's encouraging. I heard some people told me they want to come to this church, but realize it's in Richmond Annex, they decide not to come. It's not a safe area. When people heard Jesus came from Nazareth, is there anything good come out of Nazareth? When I try to invite you to, we go through this, I want you to think about many times God's thinking, God's perspective is very different from man's perspective. Jesus was raised in Nazareth. He was a carpenter, very ordinary job, right? He didn't have any, he wasn't good looking. He was very special. He like a just very plain, common face until he talk. Whatever he say, the thing happened. Amen? It seems like the way God's doing is very different from what we thought. He became a man. That's another humility. And then also Jesus became a servant. All his life he tried to proclaim the gospel. He preached the gospel to the poor. And the last few sermons I say he break the dark power in people's life, right? He healed the blind. He set the captive free. He break the oppression. So he tried to serve people. And on the Last Supper, he tried to wash his disciples' feet, right? What did his disciples try to do in the, on the Last Supper? We're going to have the Good Friday night service. We're going to review a little bit Jesus' life in the last 12 hours. Jesus told them, you know, I'm going to leave. Immediately after that, the disciples start to debate who will be the greatest among them. Isn't that interesting? May I ask you, why did disciples do that? Just based upon the scripture. Jesus said, I'm going to leave. You know, I'm going to put to the hands of evil men, you know. And immediately they start to compete and argue who will be the greatest. And then Jesus served as a slave to wash their feet. And the expression of humility, Jesus willfully to become the Lamb of redemption. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus died for the sin of the whole mankind. His death was substitute for us. I don't know how to pronounce that word. In other words, he shouldn't die because he was sinless, yet for all sin's sake, he died in our place. You know, think about Jesus' death. Really blow our mind, right? If you come as a savior, you won't die as a martyr, you will die glorious, you will die with the power and courage. How many of you have watched the movie Passion of Christ? I think in those days, our church went to the theater. We all went. We kind of almost bought all the tickets for that session at a certain time. But isn't hard to go through the, all those? Jesus was mistrial, abused, flogged, abandoned, humiliated all the way, and died hopeless, like helplessly, right? Very weak on the cross as a spectacle for people to laugh at. So how do you feel when Jesus say, if anyone wants to follow me, he had to deny himself, bear the cross, and follow me daily? Does he try to say, anyone want to learn to become disciple of Jesus, he or she will participate in the suffering of Christ, participate in the humility in Christ. I think it's very hard to, intellectually we say we understand, but you really take to the heart, and this is the Savior. Cross was a very shameful punishment tool until Jesus resurrect from the dead, right? He changed that. Right now we have a small cross in front of our church. We originally want to replace with a bigger one, but you know the timing and the cost. So we just a small one there. But whether it's small or big, the cross signifies Jesus' redemptive work. Is that right? But he paid a high price. He humbled himself. He willingly to die in that way, so cruelly humiliate, because he loved you and me. Talk about humility. Second major character of Jesus is obedience, which is very obvious. In God's plan, his assignment for Jesus' life is a very humble one. Born in the manger, grew up in nobody town Nazareth, made a living as a carpenter with an ordinary appearance. As he entered the ministry, he faced the opposition all the time. I just really appreciate many of you. You serve in this church, right? We had the Sunday school teachers meeting yesterday. Even though we don't have many children, but we realize the complexity, right? How to deal with them, how to teach them, transition to move on, etc., etc. It's not easy at all. It's a lot of obstacles, challenge. But why do you do so? May I ask you, why do you serve? Well, in certain way, you're obedient, right? The Lord give you the burden, give you the heart. So we serve, right? Why do you come today? Because I need Jesus. Is that right? You want to learn more about him. Why do I preach this? Say, because you're a pastor. No. Because I try to obey to him. You can tell this is not my mother tongue. I just want to be honest with you. I don't enjoy to preach in another language. Maybe this is very obvious to you. But I try to learn from Jesus. In the weakness, God manifests his power. I tell you, the crucifixion of Jesus, on the surface, Satan won. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," he realized he was defeated completely. If Satan wanted to win, he should never let Jesus die for our sin, you know? He tried to humiliate him, did whatever he can do, tried to change Jesus' mind, but he was obedient all the way until he said, "It is finished." Brothers and sisters, Satan already been finished 2,000 years ago. However, God's work in us haven't been finished yet, right? It continue. What I try to say, I want to encourage you, as you serve the Lord in different place, in different realm, different area, don't be discouraged. As long as you know the Lord call you, you're serving there and being obedient. And then finally, we see Jesus had the great courage. It's not easy. What the Jews accused Jesus about? Because he say he's Son of God, right? If Jesus recant about that, he's okay. Jesus is the Son of God. And he demonstrated for his 33 and a half years in his ministry, in his teaching, in the healing, all this. But he faced the opposition all the way, right? But he was courageous. May I ask you why he was so courageous? Because he knows who he is. Because he knows his mission. Because he knows why he suffered. Right? We all face suffering and difficulty. But we need to know where we are heading for. Amen? We need to know why we suffer. Some suffering is we bring upon ourselves, right? Our foolishness, mistakes. But there's some suffering. You serve the Lord. You share the gospel. Expand the kingdom. We will face all kinds of opposition. We're going to suffer. Okay, you look at Jesus' life. But he was obedient all the way. He has the great courage because he knows where he came from, why he come here, and where he's heading for. Amen? He trained 12 disciples and one flunk, only 11. And he entrusts the great commission to them. And that's why we are here today. We hear the gospel, right? Some generation after generation, we try to follow him. So what are the insights for us? I think Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 reads, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Has the same mindset of Christ Jesus. When we look at the core of Jesus' mindset is humility. Is laying down his way, accepting the Father's weight. I think the two insights here for us, I see is, humility leads to obedience. And obedience brings out great courage. Have you ever seen that? Humility leads to obedience. Obedience brings out great courage. All this refers to God. And the second insight I share here is willing to lay down oneself is the prerequisite for humility. Let's learn of it together. Okay, I'd like to invite you to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. There's some practical application here. Okay? Let's read together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think we talk about humility. Maybe you feel very vague or not familiar. But this morning I'd like to share with you a practical application is we try to learn to lay down ourselves, not insist our way. It's very good. Just now Angela tried to share. He said, you know, we learned that when wife is obedient to husband, the husband will be encouraged. How about husband to obedient to wife? In the book of Ephesians, it talk about husband and wife need to it talk about the believer, you need to learn to mutually submit to one another. Isn't that easy for another person to lay down, say, hey, you lay down your opinion, right? Do you feel right now it's practical now about humility? We talk about so much right now. Is the humility start with we lay down my idea for your sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, for the unity's sake, etc. It's not easy. But Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he should deny himself, bear the cross, and follow me daily. That denying himself is this statement is sometimes very vague, but in reality it means deny yourself doesn't mean you deny the existence of yourself. It's you lay down your right. You lay down your preference for a higher cause. Amen? I think Philippians chapter 2, in the beginning, Apostle Paul say, you know, all of you need to be like-minded in one heart and one spirit. How can we be like-minded in one heart and one spirit unless we learn to honor each other to lay down self, right? And here the scriptures say we need to lay down our selfish ambition. The problem is we never feel our ambition is selfish. That's the problem. Say, who is selfish? We just all for the group. It's all for the family, all for our marriage. That's where we need the humility, right? We need the Spirit to enlighten us to see them. Another thing to lay down is not just looking for our own interests. Say, wow, I'm always looking for other people's interests. Well, really? We need the God's enlightenment to examine our heart. And not try to exhort you. I exhort myself. We have a blind spot. We always struggle. But that's where the essence of humility, right? In our parenting, in our marital relationship. Thirdly, is value others above ourselves. That's what they say here. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others. Fourthly, looking for other interests. I just want to invite you, we come together to learn this together. I think it starts with the humility. Start with the lay down ourselves. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to lay down. That's fine. We have some time to pray out right after this. The Lord will going to reveal to you. Amen? It's not just what I try to share. There's many things the Lord is going to share with you. If you're humble, you're open, the Lord will reveal to you. Sometimes we'll be surprised. Really? I need to lay down this? Yes. How about let's bow our head and we pray. We have some time to quiet before the Lord. I want to invite you to think about what are some area the Lord wants you to lay down for His sake, for His kingdom's sake. Maybe in your relationship with people, in marriage, in serving the Lord, in your work. We just think about, let the Lord reveal to you, each one of us. We have some quiet time before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we treasure this time of worshiping you with our brothers and sisters. We treasure this family. We can learn together. We treasure the truth being proclaimed just now. Lord, we just ask you to continue to enlighten us, speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Lord Jesus, you lay down your life for us. You teach us about true humility, willing to lay down. And you guide us with your gentle whisper in our spirit. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. We want your love to fill us. We want to do everything out of love, not the human effort, but it's the life come from our belly, the living water come out of. Your love. We love because you love us first. I just pray for that. You come. Work among us, upon us, within us. Encourage us to adore you, to gaze at you, to be attracted by you. Reveal your character traits to us in a more profound way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We can go out worship here.